So if I wanted to kind of start, I just wanted to kind of mention that I've kind of been slacking this past week, so kind of been a bit lazy and kind of skipped doing an episode on Tuesday and Thursday. So just bear with me. It's not that bad. I mean, I kind of been lazy, so oh well. And there's probably like and also after this one, obviously, we're uploading this on a Friday. There'll obviously be a bonus episode later Friday today, sort of. I have to mention that. So, yeah, you get to hear more from me. But, all right, let's just, aside from that, let's just talk about gadgets, really. Hello, everybody, my name is Ron, and this is Ron's Gadget Talk for Friday, 18th of December, 2020. It's obviously currently a little past midnight, so I'm recording this. Oh well, so you're all be thinking I didn't put out an episode on Tuesday or Thursday even. So, yeah, I mean, laziness, procrastination is the cause of all these problems. Oh well, but well, the rest of the world didn't sleep this past week. Obviously, there was a lot that has happened. So let's just crack right in. The first thing we probably want to talk about is the upcoming Samsung Galaxy S21 series of phones, and obviously the basically new phones from Samsung and wearables and all that good stuff. Essentially, we have I mean I have a lot to talk about. I mean, this past week I heard a lot about the Samsung phones in general. So let's just go through the first one. So we have a design that essentially. First, we probably have to talk about the fact that the good folks over at WinFuture, this German blog, have kind of leaked out full front and back cover pictures of the S21 phones, and boy, do they look a little realistic. This is the real deal, guys. I mean, we've obviously for a good while now we've seen essentially renders and essentially what it may look like closer to what the S21 would look like. This is the real deal. Obviously, the S21 is shown off in four really beautiful colors, a violet and gold color, a violet finish, a white. I was about to say silver, but it's white to me. A pink, a copper gold, and a black finish, which is kind of interesting. More than that, there's like this kind of two-tone finish on these phones. So on the violet color, there's a bit of a gold sort of metallic frame, and also covers the camera. And essentially, the frame and so the camera cutout are sort of melded into this like two-tone finish. So it's almost color matching. As for example, the copper gold, or the pink, you could say, has this almost copper gold fin metallic finish that covers the cameras and so the frame. It's a unique design. I think this has not been explored in greater detail. So apparently, we've seen the back and front of these phones now. There's nothing much that we c that the, that Samsung has to hide from these phones, but it's interesting what you have here. It kind of blends in. It's like it has this. It's this glass, slightly curved glass back, but around the camera. The metal kind of sinks in, and I think it's probably for the durability of the fact it would be a tad bit easy. But I'm sitting here wondering how repairability would get a bit nightmarish with this design. I haven't thought much about that. Now the closer we're getting to these phones kind of coming out, we're pricing these issues with potentially how it'll get repaired. Hopefully it's not that bad. If the frame just comes out, then that's probably good. Oh well. The S21 apparently is expected to have a glass back, whereas the Plus, S21 Plus and S21 Ultra will have all full glass panels, so it'll be very premium finish. So that's interesting. The S21 Plus looks really dope in black. Now I think about the black color looks wonderful. I just don't understand why they don't offer an S21 in black, which is a bit lame. Maybe it's to save money, but it looks much better in black completely. But oh well, you can get a dbrand skin once the phone comes out, so that's not even a problem. We don't even know how the Ultra looks like, but it'll probably look the same. We've got our first pictures about the S21, and at the same time, we've also gotten more pictures about The S20, sorry, the earbuds that'll probably be launching, wireless earbuds that'll be coming with the S21, the Galaxy Buds Pro. So all you have here, essentially what we see here is essentially a 360 look of the of these, and essentially the Galaxy Buds Pro have this very narrow, kind of this slightly smaller design. I'd say it's small, pretty com very compact, like it's like the Galaxy Buds Live. It's not beanie shaped. It has interchangeable ear tips, which is interesting, and it has the same case as the Buds Live, or the basically the Galaxy Buds that look like beans, the Buds Live technically. So it looks nice, and this is in Phantom Black as it's written here. The Even Blast EB-Leaks has leaked this out already, so that's kind of cool. It looks really nice. Obviously, much closer to launch, it'll look a whole lot nice, but oh well. So that's one. So yeah, I mean, so there you have it. We have like new press pictures with of these phones, and that's interesting. But I think another, I think from all these rumor, from the rumor mill, the hottest story has been the fact that Samsung may be ditching the Galaxy Note. Now this started. Now this seemed to come a lit. This almost became a bit of a reality when a Samsung executive by the name of TM Rowe, he wrote a little post on Samsung's blog, a little blog post, and he wrote the fact that, and I'll probably read his words here. We've also been paying attention to people's favorite aspects of the Galaxy Note experience and are excited to add some of its most well-loved features to other devices in our lineup, which is in that paragraph, because it gives all the clues. And also in the same paragraph, I'd like to say, true to our heritage of staying ahead of the curve with trailblazing mobile tech, we will be expanding our portfolio of foldables so this groundbreaking category is more accessible to everyone. And also at the same time, it's written here, and while we are already known for our revolutionary cameras, we'll never stop trying to outdo ourselves. So be on the lookout for super intelligent, see, this is a clue right here, pro grade camera and video capabilities in 2021. And this was that specific paragraph that talked about potential things that could be coming in 2021. So that's interesting. So we've got so that post opened up plenty of clues. So first clue is that Samsung would be obviously will bring out more Z Folds this year, to is more Z Foldables really to compete with the market, and to obviously get more people to use foldable devices. And on top of that, we could probably get better and more intel. We probably get more cameras. We probably get better cameras with more computational power on the S21, and that could be coming in 2021. And on top of all that, they may be bringing some bits of the Note from the to the S21 series and other phones. That includes the S Pen. That can include the Notes app. That's interesting, to say the least. I think we were coming to that point increasingly, but I feel like they could move offer the S Pen for other devices if they could improve the technology. Maybe they'll probably offer the S Pen and it'll just be dead straight and accurate. But then, this came 2 days back. A Samsung, this is from a Korean publication, the good folks over Yonhap News Agency, then broke this story, and they have quoted a Samsung official who's obviously speaking anonymously because obviously he might be getting caught saying this. We are preparing to release the Galaxy Note series next year. Next year is 2021. So essentially, they're not going to discontinue or skip the Note series. They're gonna release another one. Rose message does not mean that the Galaxy Note series will be discontinued, the official said. And so yeah, we'll probably see a Note 21, and that's interesting. Now that's eye-opening, frankly, because we just thought that it would be the last Note, but maybe this year was interesting. 2020 has been surprisingly interesting. Only a few phones have really been hot, selling like hotcakes, but rest of the market has not really been competitive. But I'm sure that they might look to bring S Pen fun the S Pen itself or the functions to other, as it really, as I said, to other phones. They might make more notes, but honestly, we've reached a point where they'll probably stop making notes eventually. I mean, the fact that now, who knows? Possibly a Samsung could have. I'm sure Samsung's like PR team or so the ex like their like I, again, I can only speculate really. I'm sure this might be Samsung's strategy, kind of send a message to the market that we might pull the Galaxy Note out of production. We might stop making Galaxy Notes and see how the whole market responds. And we went all bananas. Some were like myself, I didn't really care if we have a note or not. It doesn't matter really. And some felt emotional because really, say all you want about these super high-end phones, but a lot of people have bought Galaxy Notes. This series of phones have been around since the beginning of smartphones. I mean, Samsung has kind of made the smartphone a big thing around us, really. I mean, Galaxy Note has been with us since the start of the smartphone era. If we think about smartphones, we think about Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, Candy Crush. Like, we've started off on a note, and at least it, so it's part of smartphone heritage to have a Galaxy Note. It's a rich tradition now of the smartphone world to have a phablet and special as a pen in it, you know. So there's also that sentiment, I believe, that I think people felt a bit. I think people got triggered, I could say. We don't really know, but people got pretty mad that the note might get discontinued, and so they just were hoping that there would be another one. And thankfully now there's obviously going to be another note. Obviously there is another market that I kind of mentioned early on about the notes that I think where people buy them a lot, and that's probably the business segment. I think if you are a business, and I keep saying this, the Note is a really good phone for business. Like, it's built for businesses and for corporate customers. But oh well, I'm sure that they, who knows? I mean, I'm just, this may not be true, but really, they could have just sent out that kind of message to everyone. Just told everyone, we're just going to stop making a Note. And then I think everyone got mad. And then they were like, okay, I think we should make another one. But then part of me also kind of realized another real reason, and that's this past year has been really tough for everyone, really, and it's been hard to run a business, really, to push phones out. The fact that 2020 has been a really hard year. We've seen a global pandemic, obviously, with so much disruption to business, to people, to consumers' wallets, to logistics, people shopping online like there's no tomorrow, literally, figuratively. And then on top of all that, we've managed to get some absolutely kick-ass phones: the iPhone 12 series, the Mate 40, the Oppo X2, the Poco X2. I mean, some seriously advanced phones. I mean, I'm sorry, the PS5 and Xbox Series S and X. Who knew this was gonna be able to? I mean, okay, the world got a little calmer by November, but really, they were able to make enough of them and they were able to push them out all over the world in record time. Like, it must have put in a strain on development teams. But also, I'd kind of argue that, well, I'm sure that I don't think that some Chinese and Korean smartphone brands, like obviously your Oppos and your Xiaomis and your Samsungs and LGs of the world, I'm sure they've not been hit by the pandemic way too hard. Just got into lockdown by like January, and then everything got back to normal by like June and stuff, and then it was just back to business by now. Now they probably have a whole bunch of phones ready to develop, and also, yeah, okay, I mean, that this past year has been tough, so it might have been hard to develop a phone, and then to put all the effort to develop and, you know, put a phone into production. So, I mean, part of me kind of understood why they don't want to offer a note. Don't want may want to stop making notes from next year. It's just been t there's been the there's also the fact that people not everyone's like gonna run out and buy a note, and then people want a really high end phone. Have got it in the S series phones, and then the foldables. You want to sell more foldables, but not really. I think Samsung has seen the market reaction. I'd say they've seen the reaction, and they probably are. Have looked at that and then basically, okay, fine, we're just gonna keep making notes because because they sell on very high notes, that's for sure. Anyways, that's just a whole lot of pun right there. But yeah, I mean, it's really been a tough year, but I mean, again, I think it's a strong bit of Samsung really to, you know, they were like, we're gonna be making another note this year. I mean, almost believed it. That's the thing. But hey, the Note gets to live another day, that's for sure. You know, if you think about it. And while Samsung obviously is going to pump out more phones, Vivo is planning to launch the X60 phones. But here's the interesting tidbit, I'd say tidbit, if I could say that. I don't know why I'm crapping out a bit. Interesting tidbit that's happening here. They've basically have launched a new partnership with the world famous lens maker. You've seen them on Nokia phones. In fact, if you think about better smartphone lenses, you remember this company's collaboration with Nokia, and it's quite iconic. And you remember that, and you're like, wait, you're talking about that lens maker, right? Yes, I'm talking about Zeiss optics. I mean, see what we're getting here. Vivo and Zeiss have announced a new collaborate have brokered a new deal, and basically Zeiss will offer their really advanced lenses to Vivo for use in Vivo's phones, a lot of the high-end phones. So the result of this brand new partnership between Vivo and Zeiss, which I think is really exciting, I think is lovely that Zeiss is basically getting really back in the smartphone game with more phones featuring their lenses. I mean, again, that collaboration is quite iconic. I think a lot of people recognize Zeiss obviously because of its collaboration with Nokia. They've created a lot of smartphone lenses for Nokia. I thought they made full cameras, but no, they made little lenses, and obviously, you get better optics. So, the Vivo X60 series that's gonna be coming out on December 29th, man, I mean, they got no chill with its holidays and oh well, but by the time it'll come out the rest of the world, it'll be 2021, so gotta get it out by end of 2020. Finish. Try to, get the phone out as the year finishes. Anyways, so the Vivo X60 series will be the first phone to take advantage of Zeiss lenses. It'll feature Zeiss's Variotessar lenses. I'm kind of familiar with the name because this is the same kind of lenses that Zeiss offers for mirrorless sensors, for mirrorless cameras, I believe. The name is a little familiar. Hang on, let's see what's it's used in. There, it's not that big, really. I mean, okay, I kind of guessed it. This is put on. They offer it on mirrorless camera sense. They offer lenses. Hang on, this is interesting. It is the same type of it's the same lenses that they use on. Lens for mirrorless cameras, for Sony's mirrorless cameras, the Alphas, the A7s and stuff like that. If you bought Zeiss lenses, it's the Variotessar lenses, which is really cool. On top of all that, you have T-Star anti-reflective coating that's with the lenses. So the X60 will have that sort of its lens will be using Zeiss technology, which is really cool. So you get that kind of premium quality. The X60 will also use Zeiss's 3D pop algorithms for bokeh rendering. Yikes, this is getting well past literal hardware. This is also software. Wait, Zeiss made camera processing software? Like, they also have their hand in computational photography? That's bananas. So, yeah, so this is the first of many phones from Vivo that will have Zeiss lens and technology included. And high-end Vivo phones will have Zeiss lenses. And tech obviously added. And yes, I added tech into the equation. Again, mentioning the algorithms that they're putting to do better bokehs. I mean, that's interesting. So, but on top of all that, they're also establishing a joint R&D program to create innovative solutions for mobile imaging technology, the Vivo Zeiss Imaging Lab, which is interesting. So, they'll kind of come together and make really great smartphone cameras. I mean, Vivo has a focus on cameras. In fact, Vivo is known for camera for being focused on photography. The phones, when you see the ads on TV, they show the camera. The X50 series, I've talked about this past year. The X50 series, it has a gimbal kind of in the main sensor, which is, I think, real innovation. I think compared. So that's kind of awesome that Vivo's really getting to collaborate, finally kind of collaborate with like-minded players like Zeiss Optics that want to, Carl Zeiss, that obviously want to offer better quality for everyone. So good on them. If this fits their brand so perfectly, this is not, this is second, this is like nature, really. So yeah, pretty exciting times. You better looking pictures ahead. Alrighty, we obviously got also tons of other sort of devices to kind of talk about. The Redmi 9 Power has kind of also come out. Another, I mean, we mentioned it last week. Obviously, it's now finally out. Now, the interesting part is that this is a new Redmi phone. Apparently, this is almost the same as the Poco M3. I mean, if you look at the back, it's a little similar to the Poco M3. It's almost like, and the Redmi Note 9 4G. But it has an additional sensor, a third sensor, to start with. So, what's that, to say the least? So the Redmi 9 Power is a whole lot of power because it has a 6,000 milliamp hour battery, a 6.53 inch FHD plus LCD punch hole display, with Gorilla Glass 3 protection, 4 gigabytes of RAM. 64, 128 gigabytes of storage, and the Snapdragon 662 processor. The camera, obviously, you have a 48 megapixel main sensor, 8 megapixel ultra wide shooter. Interesting. A 2 megapixel macro shooter, and obviously a 2 megapixel depth sensor. Why do we still have a 2 megapixel macro sensor? I still don't get it. Can somebody please explain the benefit of having a macro sensor, aside from getting like quite detailed shots? But apparently, the Redmi 9 Power has this obviously 6,000 milliamp hour battery and an 8 megapixel ultra wide sensor, was kind of important in these sorts of phones. Aside from that, you have a 3.5 mm headphone jack, Bluetooth 5.0, an IR blaster, 18 watt fast charging, and a side mounted fingerprint sensor, and well, a whole lot of things. And you get Android 10 out of the gate, which is but it'll be upgradable to Android 11 soon. So we've kind of gone through the specs, and this is a little similar to the Redmi Note 9 4G, the China variant, the recent one. It came with the 5G Redmi Note 9s, and also the Poco M3. The Poco M3 had this pretty ugly kind of bulge around the camera cutout. So it's and I mean, here this is a bit more elegant, a bit more cleaner, a little cleaner on the back, with Redmi kind of blasted on the front. It's a bit more cleaner than what Poco has done, so this is a good variant of that. So the Redmi Note, the so the I was saying the Note, sorry, the Redmi 9 Power is essentially, because we said the Redmi Note 9 would be a bit confusing, but the Redmi 9 Power will start from 149. Will start from around 10,999 Indian rupees. That's for the 64 gig variant, and 1,000 rupees extra for double the storage. So in US dollars, that's roughly $150 and $163 respectively for both phones. So it'll be available starting December 22nd. That's roughly 4 day. No, that's roughly, give and take, that's about 4 days time. So pretty much next week, able to find the Redmi 9 Power in stores or online, kind of. For other places, we really don't know when they're gonna release this. Obviously, they might come up with another name or to remove the confusion with the currently available Redmi Note 9 series, which is also kind of a 4G version too, with equally nice cameras and specs. But on the flip side of everything, Nokia has come out with another phone. And has almost, it's the same, the difference between the last phone and this one is it has the same processor. Nokia has released the Nokia 5.4, the fourth variant of its, okay, technically the fifth one, if you calculate it this way. The Nokia 5.4 is essentially the fifth phone with Nokia 5 name. It has a fourth, the difference though here is you have a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, Snapdragon 662 processor, 48 megapixel camera, again starting to compete with Poco M3 and more, and essentially and almost the same set of specs. You get Android 11 though, I mean, you'll get Android 11 also in the future, but the phone itself will come out with Android 10 out of the gate. But interestingly, you get 4 or 6 gigabytes of RAM, which is interesting, and 64 or 128 gigabytes of storage, and you get 10-watt fast charging with USB-C, which is pretty good at such a budgetable price. And you get a 720p display, unfortunately, which is a bit of a bummer, frankly, at this price. And this all this for roughly 108, starting 189 euros. There's no information about when this is going to be coming out, or exactly the exact prices of the models here. But you'll get three configurations. Obviously, the 64 and 128 gigabyte variants will come with 4 gigabytes of RAM, so there'll be two storage configs, and then a 6 gigabyte of RAM, 6 GB RAM option with just 64 gigabytes of RAM storage, sorry, which is interesting to say the least. But apparently, this will probably cost about $230 US, which is interesting. It's a lot of money for a phone like this, but obviously able to find it in more places, and that's the difference. It'll probably be more widely available than say the you can say than the than Xiaomi's phones, even though Xiaomi is expanding availability dramatically of their phones, that's for sure. And obviously, now we're past gadgets, obviously let's talk about some streaming stuff, because we've got plenty to cover really. Google's game streaming service Stadia is now available on iOS through a web app. So basically, how it is you have an iPhone or iPad that's running on iOS 14.3 or iPadOS 14.3, you can run Google Stadia by just visiting your website, literally on those device on that on the device itself. Just log in and start playing. And yes, controllers are supported. Google Stadia's own controller, which is actually available along with the DualShock 4 and Xbox One controller, is supported. So you can use Stadia on iOS now through the web. In fact, there's currently no app for Stadia, apparently because of Apple's very strict regulations with game streaming services. So you'll have to get by with a web app. I think iOS's restriction, sorry, Apple's restrictionism here with game streaming apps have created this unwanted innovation called web apps. The fact that you can stream full games through a web app, which is, I think, bananas, frankly. I mean, they've got to that point, which is interesting. So it's now available. You can go do it. It's live. It's out of beta, from the looks of it. Right now, xCloud and GeForce Now kind of have it in beta. They're testing it out, and Amazon's Luna game streaming service is doing it. So they probably are testing it out as we speak. And then on top of all that, so interestingly enough, so you can say this, but I'm moving on kind of. So Apple and Google are kind of working together. That's interesting. I mean, okay, for Stadia, they're not really. I mean, Apple still has pretty strict rules in this regard. But Apple Music became available to Google Assistant speakers in the past week or so. So if you have Google Assistant, you can now add Apple Music to the list of services that sort of would work with Google Assistant, with Google Home and Nest home devices, and essentially you can ask Google to play stuff from Apple Music, which I think is a bit of a big deal. Before you'd probably want to use that. You'd preferably you could use YouTube Music or Spotify, which are actually equally good or better options, in my own opinion, compared to Apple Music. But now you have this, so if you have an iPhone, so you could still use it. So that's lovely. On top of that, and on top of all that, if you have an if you have a the new Chromecast or an Android TV really out there, you can now use Apple TV Plus. We can use the Apple TV Plus service and the Apple TV app in general. You can like rent movies and buy TV. You can rent and buy movies and buy TV shows and stuff and all that good stuff. Use Apple's TV app, and again, the new Chromecast will have the Apple TV Plus. Will have the Apple TV app literally from early next year. So that's again. With a, thanks to the partnership between Google and Apple, which is interesting, so that's fun. And then a little bit of a big, but the weirder part here, of all, is that Apple TV, the Apple TV app, especially the Apple TV Plus service, is not available on Android phones, which is strange. I think they should bring it to Android devices, also the phones and tablets, like they've done with Apple Music. Well, you could reach more people than usual, and there's a lot of good content on Apple TV Plus, if you ask me, kind of. It's interesting. So that's cool, but a little bit of a bigger deal if you're in the US right now. I mean, HBO Max is now available on Roku, which is not really a big deal, but obviously this has been a stand sticking bit of a sore thumb for a lot of people using HBO Max. Apparently, obviously, when they launched it back in May, Roku, Warner Brothers and Roku didn't really reach a deal to offer the service, and so if you had a Roku, you just couldn't use HBO Max. And also, I think early on there was like a similar scuffle with Amazon, but since then those issues have been resolved from the looks of it. Now, the bigger reason, really, we don't really know what led to both parties quickly reaching a deal, but it's probably because of the fact that HBO Max has obviously the new Wonder Woman coming out, which we kind of talked about a few episodes before, and the fact that obviously another bigger thing that's happened is that all of Warner Brothers' sort of 2021 release slate will basically directly stream to HBO Max for the first 30 days on top of the theatrical release in the US. So I think that pushed Roku to be like, okay, you can't exclude another service. And so you kind of so but interestingly enough, I don't want to go on about it really. If you're a Roku user and you pay for HBO pretty much through Roku, you will be able to get HBO Max straight away. So you're just like any other subscriber to HBO through any other platform or service. So you're able to get the HBO Max service straight away, so you have the right to do so. On top of that, more than interestingly, you won't be able to buy you won't be able to get, you won't be able to pay for an HBO subscription through Roku, but you could bill HBO Max through Roku, which is interesting. This has happened for the longest time. If you haven't bought a Roku, you could pay for streaming services through Roku, and it's like a ton of services through there, from your credit card through to Roku, and it's a lucrative business on top of advertising for Roku. So I'm sure they sorted that little part out, which is interesting. So that was an interesting thing. I think it was made up for the fact that I think that was a real dispute with HBO, was I think with Roku and Amazon, both of them, with the fact that they both carried. So they sort of offered the full HBO channel, sort of, so along with the streaming service, sort of, and that caused that was a bit of a sticking point. So they've resolved that issue, and it's interesting that HBO Max is like kind of growing. They're cutting out the confusion now, and they've resolved those issues. So, yeah. And finally, this was interesting because when I read this, it was just interesting, and I think it explains it. I think I would argue this is like the biggest difference between what Apple's streaming effort and say other brands out there, which is interesting. So, they for a bit of a context, there used to be this really controversial online news business called Gawker Media. And they ran a whole bunch of online news sites, and some of them pretty famous, like Gizmodo and Lifehacker. And obviously now the sites are kind of still around, running at full speed. But obviously the original business has been kind of been went bankrupt due to a really famous lawsuit. I mean, just Google Gawker and you'll get what I'm talking about. Again, it was a bit of a it was based on some defamation lawsuit, I believe. Yeah, it was something like that, and it involved Hulk Hogan. That was interesting, and do Google it. I mean, but there was a series that was gonna be made about so the rise so the back so the rise of Gawker, sort of. It rose to being this really powerful an online news biz site, sort of, and it was influential, but and it was called Scrapper. And the show was written by former Gawker editors, which is interesting, and they were kind of working on it. And so Apple obviously was working to make the show then, Then Apple CEO Tim Cook found out that they were making the show, and then he responded back interestingly, and obviously he kind of got disappointed that obviously Apple's making about a show about a company that had some negative connotation. What were those negative connotations? Now, it's interesting that, and I'm sure Tim Cook probably remembers, or probably has a negative connotation for Gawker. I mean, the main site sort of was about quite, sensational gossip about folks in Silicon Valley. I mean, breaking stories like well before everyone else kind of knew. I mean, for context, Gawker outed Cook in 2008, 6 years before he wrote that he was gay, like as a rumor, like gossip. And it kind of pissed Tim Cook off, obviously. But more than everything, I think a lot of people will notice if you're into phones, this is a little bit more relevant. Gizmodo leaked the iPhone 4, the actual iPhone 4, straight away, and it was quite controversial for Apple. So I think that was a negative connotations for Apple. It was enough to kind of push Tim Cook to be like, no, cancel the show. No, we're not doing it. Cut. So now, as fortunately enough, obviously the executive who brought the show in, to be produced has left Apple, interestingly enough. But more than ever, the show Scrapper itself, it's not gonna be coming to Apple TV Plus. It's not, but obviously now, it'll be going to other, the producers obviously going to other networks and folks who'd air this show. I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix would want to buy it. I mean, given how they are as a company. But it's interesting. I mean, I think for me, it's not about the fact about Gawker and their controversial history and how it kind of triggered Apple and even its CEO. I think it's okay. I mean, if someone, if really, if you head a company and you've had a negative experience, yes, you're like, please, no, don't just, yeah, no, I understand, it makes sense. I think for me, what I understand from this is the fact that Apple TV Plus wants to be one of the top, one of the, really want to be the leading, really the home of quality award-winning television. Like some of the best shows on TV are on Apple TV Plus. But that there's also a lot of like oversight and sort of control, like a lot of nitpicking essentially, not much like creative freedom unless otherwise stated for, unless asked for and given to, or unless it's kind of allowed. Like they're, I mean, you know, they control the content, which is interesting. Apparently, this is also with this regard, and I don't know who broke. New York Times obviously broke the story that the show was being made, and then Apple kind of scrapped it because it was a bit too much for Tim Cook and obviously for Apple as a brand. I mean, one of their sites, one of this company, this controversial company, one of its sites leaked the iPhone 4. That would be enough of a controversy itself. But interestingly, Eddie Cue, sort of Apple's executive, kind of told folks about how, and I'll quote this here: "The two things we will never do are hardcore nudity and China." This is referring to the fact that Apple content on Apple TV Plus will be not too explicit or obviously highly uncut, or touching way too many, touching crossing too many lines or water, so it'll be a bit more toned down compared to the competition. And it's kind of signaling that unlike Amazon Prime Video and Netflix, which are a bit free, which give people almost unprecedented freedom, they can say and do whatever they like, and no one's gonna bat an eye at them really. Even though that, I mean, the bigger the service is, and obviously more people it reaches, it could be room for controversy because people would kind of, it would be a backlash. Just look at what happened to Netflix earlier this year with this weird French movie called Cuties. I mean, they didn't look and they just dropped a funky poster. They thought it would be representative, and then people got mad at Netflix that it kind of it glorified. I mean, it was a whole controversy behind Cuties. So I think Apple's trying to, like, I mean, when it comes to its shows, it's trying to keep it a bit toned down and a bit, a bit a bit PG and toned down. There might be like that backlash, and obviously a lot of it might be a bit of backlash, and obviously it could affect other businesses. But the other part is China, obviously. No negative views to China, which is interesting. Even the Apple T Plus is not available in China, which is interesting. But also, Apple's playing it a bit safe. They sort of are going in and sort of picking the sorts of shows that they kind of like, that taste good, they're tasteful. Are not obviously, they want obviously the best shows, but they don't want like anything and any and every kind of story to be on Apple TV Plus. I would argue this is the biggest difference between Apple and say Netflix and Amazon, and they're playing it a bit safe. And some people went like, and I think some people then kind of, I honestly don't care, frankly. I mean, I don't know about how you think about this, frankly. Some people obviously mad and disappointed. I'm not that bothered, frankly. I mean, if Apple wants to like kind of have a standard for their shows, they don't want they don't they have some sort of they have some decency. They want to, they want to pick the kind of shows that are nice and decent, and they're still good quality, but they're not too extreme, or you don't see dead bodies or anything like that. Let them do that. I frankly don't care. Honestly, I mean, it's all right. I think this would make them special. This is what will make them different from the competition. This would be a good selling point. Not to say like it'll be like a family friendly service, but I mean, like, it's gotta be for everyone. It's gotta be for. I think it kind of it also kind of removes them from a lot of the potential sort of problems that it can't. And I think this strategy could be good worldwide. It could be a way to insulate from potential censorship problems, like Netflix and Amazon have had. Complaints that both services have experienced in so many countries, where essentially their content is a bit too much, or it's a bit too violent, a bit too racist, a bit this, or a bit that. You get the point. So it's interesting. It's interesting what Apple has done here. I mean, there's also kind of interfering creatively, but then I'm like, well, Apple is obviously doing what's right for them. So that's interesting. So this is very, very fascinating, to say the least. All right, so yeah, that's I have really long ramblings and chit-chatting about technology in general. Yeah, I mean, that was the episode, really. What do you think of everything you heard today? Let me know on Twitter and Instagram at Sayed_99. Don't forget to obviously send me a message, or obviously tweet back at me, or obviously mention me in your Instagram stories. That's a thing. Aside from that, thank you for listening. Subscribe to the show wherever you're listening right now. And obviously, we will, I mean, I can't guarantee. So, I mean, a bonus, sort of, a little, because again, we didn't drop like two episodes this week. We did one, which is this one. So, yeah. Aside from that, thank you for listening, and have a great day. And you know what to do, really. And until next week, it's your boy signing out. Peace. Have a great day. Ciao. Thanks for listening.